Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
All right. Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here with another episode of the Wrestle Horror Podcast. With me, as always, my co-host, Donnie Hoover.
Hey, everybody. What's going on?
Followed up by our play-by-play at New Ohio Wrestling, Mr. John Orlando.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're doing well out there.
And our special guest on this episode, Jeannie Bisson, Hollywood from the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. If you're not the Netflix, we're talking the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. Jeannie, how are you?
I am good. Thank you guys so much for having me today. Appreciate it.
And, you know, we've been excited to get you on the show ever since we talked to the Royal Hawaiian.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
And, you know, let's just talk about a little bit about the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling at first. How did you get started with GLO?
Oh, my gosh. Pretty much, if you guys spoken to April, the Royal Hawaiian, both of us were on the same audition. And there was an audition 1985. I think it was somewhere around September. We both got that same audition. We went down. We're on the same audition. We don't even know each other because there's like 500 ladies there holding pictures and resumes. They're models, they're dancers, they're actresses. Everybody's at this audition. And so basically what was cool about it is anybody could go and learn how to wrestle. So they left it up to all of us. If you're interested in wrestling, which of course we did not know, and I know she told you the same story, we didn't know what kind of sports show they were talking about, because when they left the message, it was like, hi, we need you for an interview. It's at 6 o'clock at the Hyatt on Sunset. Wear workout clothes, bring a picture and resume for a sports show, but they didn't say what it was. So when they told us, when David McClain told us it was wrestling, I almost felt pretty shocked, only because I'd played sports all my life and wrestling was not one of them. So I was like, uh-oh. And I'm looking around and I'm like, I don't know wrestling, but that's okay. I'm looking around and we're looking at all these girls who were not going to have it. So they picked up their picture and resume and they walked out the door. And both, you know, not knowing Royal, I don't even know where April was sitting. She could have been sitting next to me for all I know. But we both decided that we would go down to these trainings, and the trainings were paid, you guys. It was a paid training, and I trained Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights, and that was 7 to 10. And then I'd go back into work in the morning, and I was beat up. So we knew that they needed 12 girls and to do the pilot. They had names already picked out, and I know April told you guys the same thing, and one of the characters was Hollywood and Vine. It was Tina and Ashley, you know, the different ones. And I'm like, man, I hope they give me Hollywood or Vine or Tina or Ashley. Please don't give me a Russian. Don't give me this one or that one. So basically they were putting our personalities with these characters. So April and I, lo and behold, were one of the 12 that were picked to do the pilot. So we did the pilot December 1985 in Las Vegas. And then I went back to my job, which was in the medical field. I was a phlebotomist, and that's somebody who draws blood. So I had this little medical background. And we ended up going to NAPI, and I don't know if anyone's familiar with that. That stands, it's syndication. It's National Association of TV Programming Entertainment. So we had to sell the show. So we were in New Orleans. It was four of us. Americana, Tammy Jones, myself, and Matilda the Hun. So we represented the GLO Girls with our director and our David McClain, the producer. They did say, we'll let you know if it got picked up. Well, the end of January, I got that phone call that said, pack your bags, you're going to Vegas. And so I gave my job that I'd been to, I think I was with that job just right after high school, so 4 or 5 years, whatever. Packed and went to Vegas and started shooting the show. So that's basically, I was trying to do that quick, but kind of hard.
Right now.
I don't like leaving out stuff, but.
Well, if I could ask,
have it.
If I could ask a quick question.
Sure.
Once you got the position, once you got the spot on the roster and they picked up the show, did you have to continue training in wrestling?
All right. So I did 3 months with Mondo Guerrero. Mondo trained the Royal Hawaiian, myself, and the other 10 ladies. So as we get going, like you just said, there is training, but the training is trickling down a little bit now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not taking anything away from anybody or the girls, but David McLean had a lady, Lady Victoria, I think it was, or Princess Jasmine, I'm sorry, Princess Jasmine, that he knew in Indiana. So he brought her out and she started training some of the girls. And then from there, the Alaskan's wife, Debbie Peltier, came in to join us, and Debbie started training. And then from there, it went down. So now they're asking some of the ladies, Royal Hawaiian, will you train some of the new girls? Americana, will you train some of the new girls? So for me, they're still giving everybody that same basic training. And it was like, well, what am I going to do? So basically, I started watching TV. I watched, when it was called WWF. I'm like, I need to learn new stuff. And so I just turned on the TV. I recorded it. I watched all the moves that they did. One of them that I really liked was that flying head scissor. I can't tell you which, wrestler back then did it. I'm sure they all did it. But I'm like, I'm going to learn that. And so I use that as one of my signature endings for GLOW. But there was no more. From there, like I said, the girls were training each other. But my main training for Mondo was pretty hardcore.
In fact, I was going to ask that. I actually, many years ago, had an opportunity to work a show with Ivory. And with talking with her, she had mentioned that Mondo Guerrero was one of the toughest and most demanding trainers. Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, my God, yes. If you could get through that training session with him like we did, you had a, I talked to a bunch of like the Nasty Boys. If you were trained by Mondo, you were trained right. And so, yes. But I didn't know any other trainer, so how am I supposed to know who's hard and who's not?
True.
I just did my job. We all did it well. So, kudos to him. Of course, now we all know that his nephew, Chavo, was training the ladies for the Netflix GLOW show. And I know it's going ahead a little bit, but when I spoke with Chavo, and we were doing a convention in Victorville, California in May of this year. And he said to us, I asked him a question. I'm like, how did you train the actresses? They're actresses. They're not, wrestlers or, acrobats. How did you do it? So it was interesting how they did do it. So basically they took the script, they read what was required of the girls, and then Chavo only trained them for those particular scenes. So they were being trained scene by scene, which makes a lot of sense because you'd have to have a hell of a lot more training. Mm-hmm. So that made it easier. Hi, you guys are going to do this, 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 and this, and that's it. So he trained them for those particular scenes. He goes, I did not want them to hate wrestling. He said, I didn't want that. So, see, he even knew how difficult, was.
How do you feel the Netflix series portrayed your guys' story, your true story? I know. April said it wasn't 100% accurate, but there was some truth and mixing of the characters. But I was just curious to what your thoughts on it was.
Pretty much the same thing. It's loosely based, I tell everybody, if you know anything about movies or Hollywood, no pun intended, but it is Hollywood. And sometimes you have to make the stories a little bit more dramatic so that you could bring in your audience again and again and again. Because you know how these shows are. You need drama, drama, drama. So a lot of the ladies, and April probably told you the same thing, really half of us loved it. And the other half didn't like it because it wasn't telling our story 100%. But you know what? Like I told you, you need drama to bring in, you know, your audience. For one example, everyone knows the example, our director did not sit there and snort cocaine all day long. That was not his vice, you guys, you know, and the girls hated that. They didn't want that, but, you know, he did not do that. Matt liked to gamble. That was it. He did not drink. He did not smoke. And they were pretty hardcore on us because if we were caught with drugs or doing something we weren't supposed to, we were going to be fired immediately. And also another thing that I noticed in the Glow Netflix is the girls seemed to have a lot more say in what was going on with their characters and this and that. And we pretty much didn't have, we had a short lease around our neck, let me tell you. For me, because I did the pilot and all four seasons, I'm only one that did that, I had a little bit more, you know, leeway or getting kind of what I wanted to do in the third and fourth season. The reason for that is we had all new characters, third and fourth season. They needed myself and Mountain Fiji for season 3 and 4. So I got a lot. I got away with quite a bit. April, quite a bit, you know, and I pretty much knew the ins and outs of, you know, I didn't live there season 3 and 4. I didn't want to. I kind of didn't want to come back. Once the other girls left, I'm like, well, shoot, I got to start with all new girls again. So they offered me, why don't you come in on Wednesdays, fly in Wednesday into Vegas. We'll do some rehearsals. And then on Friday is that dress rehearsal with the cameras. And then Saturday do the live show and then you can go back home. So that's what I did in season 3 and 4. So I kind of wasn't as close with the characters in season 3 and 4 because I didn't have to live there 24/7 with them. But season 1 and 2, we were real tight for sure.
If I could ask, what was your reaction when you heard that Netflix was going to make the show? Were you excited?
Look at my face. Yes, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, you do a job, you guys, you do something and you're done and you move on, but you're thinking in your head, is anyone ever going to remember that show? And lo and behold, after we did the story of the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, which is that documentary in 2012, you know, Netflix saw that. Jinji Cohen, the director, producer, saw that and decided, let's make a TV show about that. I was so excited. The only thing that, and I know one of you are going to ask me that question next, is why aren't you guys on it? Who knows? I think it would have been really nice to have a few characters, even if we were just sitting there reading a newspaper, what, you know, kind of like what some of the other directors will do in their movies. Quentin Tarantino can be in some of his stuff. And, who's the horror? Who's my horror guy over here?
Hitchcock did it all the time.
Hitchcock, yes. Yeah. Yes. You know, he'll be sitting on the bus reading a newspaper. You know, cameos would have been really nice. Now, they're starting back up. They're starting back up in February. Who knows? Maybe they'll ask somebody, one of the girls.
Now you're talking about like the old Stan Lee gimmick there where he shows up in all of his movies.
Exactly. And then who's the guy, Deer Hunter, with the glasses, that director, with the big Coke Room glasses.
Was that Francis Ford Coppola?
No, the other one. They just did the Irishman. Did you see that on Netflix?
Oh, Scorsese.
Oh, my God, yes. He put himself in some of these movies as well. Did you guys see the Irishman?
I have not yet. No.
Yeah, it's really good. I watched it last week, I think, Thanksgiving. Yeah, it was really good.
Nice.
So, yeah, maybe they'll put us in, you guys. It would be really nice. I think it would add to the show a lot.
I think so. I'd actually never considered that or thought of that. But, yeah, that would be neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would be.
Yeah. We would love it.
Do you have any great David McClane stories?
That you want to share anyway?
You know what? Great ones. He was a character. And you know what? Because I always thought he was much, much older than us. And he really wasn't, maybe by a year or two. But he came off, you know, as acting as he should. I love David McLean. I have, you know, he did seasons 1 and 2. And I remember one time just being at the Riviera Hotel. He'd always buy me ice cream or something. We were good friends. I didn't date David McLean. There was never that going on. But I don't know about the great stories. He just, you know, I just love that he had this idea in his head that he wanted this kind of a show and he was going to get it one way or another. But he's a great talker too, by the way. And he could announce very well. You know, I thought he did a good job, and now he's got, I mean, wow, he's had that show for many, many years, and now he's on Access TV. And that's always what he wanted. He didn't really want the stuff that we were doing. You know how we had the little comedy sketches? That wasn't his idea of a wrestling show. He wanted it strictly wrestling, but somehow the money guy put him with the director, with Matt Simber. So Matt had the movie background and David with the wrestling, and that's how GLOW became that kind of a show.
Cool.
Yeah. Now, when you were there from start to finish on GLOW, and was there a lot of injuries that you would take, or did you get lucky and just have limited amount of bumps and bruises, the normal
that's
stuff?
That's a good question, because I saw women coming and going. April was one of them, you know. I'm really lucky. I stayed in really good shape, good diet. The thing is I don't ever remember trying to be careful, you guys. When you're 21 years old and they say, do this, like what Mondo. When Mondo said to me, David said this to me. Here's a story that I can tell you about David McLean. I didn't know this for a very long time, but David said, do you want to know how you secured your position in GLOW? And I said, yeah, I'd love to know how that came about. Why me? And he said, Mondo said to everybody in the ring, which one of you ladies can ram your head in the turnbuckle, turn over, and land on your back? My hand was raised immediately. Bing, I can do it. He goes, that's what we wanted. We wanted girls who weren't afraid to do it. And so when you're 21, 22, 23 years old, I was not worried about breaking a leg, a hip, anything, just because you're in better shape when you're that young. Mm-hmm. But that's a story that he told me. I finally figured out how I secured that position. But no, I had the bumps and bruises like everybody else. I gave bumps and bruises by accident. You know how that happened.
Oh, yeah.
You know, oh, sorry, my knee got in your forehead. Sorry. Black eyes. But I, knock on wood, really, really lucky.
So,
plus, we had to work out, guys. We had to work out a lot. They wanted us working out as well.
Nice.
That helps, right?
You got to stay fit for that business.
Absolutely. We talked about that early. NFL, not... What did I say? Not for long.
So let me ask you this, Jeannie. You mentioned working for other promotions. What are some of the promotions that you've wrestled for?
I have them. I want to tell you. I have them written down. Hold on. A lot of independent ones. Let me see where I have those. Wrestling. That's a good question, because I do have them. Wrestling affiliations. Okay, guys?
Okay.
These are the companies I worked for. AIWA, WWA, MLW, PPCW, Glory Wrestling, MLW, which is Memphis Ladies Wrestling, and then NWA. So all of those wrestling affiliations are, you know, some of them are independent. Right. The only people that were doing those independent wrestling promotions and stuff was Lightning and myself. So when GLOW ended, Lightning and I decided to do that route for a little while. And then I was just burnt out, guys. WWF had come to town. And you guys, I had broken my leg. So in 1998, in November, I break my leg doing some kind of wrestling with this woman. I'll never forget it, because it was probably, and this is after GLOW, it was the most pain I've ever been in my entire life. Adult life. I think I'm 36 years old. Had this lady in a, I had her in a headlock. So she decides to wrap her leg around my knee and hook it at the ankle. Now, mind you, my legs look like this. Her legs were the size of my body. So when I tried to get out of it, I just turn, and her leg didn't move, and neither did mine, but crack, crack, crack. I broke that leg in three places.
Ow.
Oh, my God. So WWF, I get this call from an agent. Actually, was an agent. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, he was a wrestling. It was a wrestling school that I also was training at during that time. And he said, you need to go down to this audition with WWF. I said, but I'm right in the middle of a broken leg. Just go. So, guys, I'm limping so badly. I'm wearing sweatpants because I don't want them to see the atrophy in the leg because it's pretty bad. I mean, I was bruised from my toe all the way up to my hip, all the way up and down. You know, those take a long time to go away. So I get in the ring. Jim Ross is down there and a couple of the other affiliates from WWF. I get in the ring wrestling one of their guys. I stand to the side of the ring apron, and Jim's asking me all these questions. Who's your trainer? I said, Mondo Guerrero. Ooh, blah, blah, blah. And they're liking me a lot. But you guys, I'm sitting there knowing that I have a broken leg. And I'm like, I just told them. I'm not a good liar. I just have to just say it. I just said, you guys, I'm limping because I'm right in the middle of a broken leg. And that was it. I just walked out from there. And my agent was like, why? Rick Bassman, that's who it was, Rick. Rick Bassman, have you heard of Rick? Remember him? He had a school way back in the day, guys. And I believe it was, Rick goes, why did you tell him? I'm like, I had to. I just, what if I got there? You know what I mean? And cause more, I don't want to be a liar on top of everything. So, it wasn't the time. And I was burnt out, guys. I've been wrestling for 4 years of my life straight on. I wanted to be a 20-year-old because I didn't get to do that. We were on the road. We were, like I said, you know, wherever we went, we had curfew. I mean, I could go on and on and on. There was a lot of rules. And so after 4 years, all you want to do is be a 20-year-old and go out and party and have fun. I mean, that was just me. I wasn't thinking about the big picture, you know, like Ivory going in, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that I could have had a chance too, but I don't know if I wanted it that much at that time. I just kind of wanted to be free.
Mm-hmm. Did you, how did you find the transition from GLOW to actual other independents go for you? Did you find that an easy transition, or was it different or the same?
No, it seemed to be easy because we were already on television, you know, and remember the power of TV is huge, you know, now that, and remember there's no internet. So I found it quite easy. We could almost pick and choose, really. I had people here, do you want to do this? And then after I broke my leg, that was it. I was like, I am too afraid to go in the ring unless I know that person. You guys, I don't know if you've ever broken bones before, but for me, yeah, it scared the holy crap out of me because I remember sitting in bed with this machine that was doing this to the leg, you know? Oh, I don't know what that thing is called, but it automatically was doing that. And I sat there and went, holy crap. I broke my leg. This is what, you know, what am I thinking? What, you know, then I started thinking, I'm not invincible anymore. This could, you know, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. But then what did I do? As soon as I healed 4 months later, bam, right back into it again. And then I started my company, Hollywood Productions. I work for a lot of small companies in California. But what I was saying, being on TV for that long didn't hinder anything. It helped a lot going to these companies. But then I was like, I don't know her. I just kept thinking that someone was going to break that leg again. And I just couldn't get that out of my head. Swing around that. It took a long time. I couldn't snowboard anymore. I was really good at snowboarding, you guys. I was doing black diamond. Now I tried to go back probably, I would say it was 19, I mean, it was 2000. I tried to snowboard in 2000 and it hurt so bad because I still have 7 screws and 2 plates in this leg. So so when you go and it's cold, you all know that it starts freezing that metal and it put a lot of pain on it then. And I'm like, man, I don't even know if I want to try it anymore. So I haven't been snowboarding since. It's something that I need to do. Crazy.
Gentlemen, do you want to go or?
Yeah. Speaking of all the wrestling and stuff, this is probably a good time to segue into it.
Sure.
That with Jeannie. She goes to a lot of conventions and she travels across the country and she's very busy. And just like we announced with Rural Hawaiian a month or so ago, at the Arnold Sports World Kids and Teens Expo on March 7th and 8th, we announced that the Rural Hawaiian was going to be with us at the Arnold, and Edge Hollywood is going to be there with us as well. Jeannie's going to come down with us and hang out for the weekend, and we're excited to have her. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's going to be exciting, guys, because I've not been to that. So, that's just going to be incredible. Thank you for having us.
Oh, yeah,
we've done
no
a
problem.
Lot of the conventions, you know, Donnie. I've done, you know, with Stan Lee, when it was called Stan Lee, we did the Stan Lee, which is now LA Comic Con. And then it was RuPaul. And then I did Rhode Island Comic Con. All those Comic Cons are huge. And it, you know, and the Glow Netflix has helped a lot. The internet has helped a lot, because now you're seeing these younger kids whose parents were the ones watching us.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to discover us is pretty cool. Both April and I love doing it. The Rhode Island Comic Con is, we just got back from that one. And then we did 80s Wrestling Con right before that. So I am looking forward to this March gig. So up my alley for sure. That'll be exciting.
Cool. I'm going to switch gears a little bit here, because I know while I was doing my, my research here, that you now manufacture all natural soap.
Oh my God. Yes.
So how did you get started in that?
Thank you for bringing that up. You did good research.
Thanks.
It's the funniest thing because thanks. I light up because it's something totally different. It's very soothing for me, but I liked homemade soaps from the get-go, so I'd always buy them. And last Christmas, I was in California at one of the malls, and there was a kiosk with all these beautiful soaps. So I'm smelling them, I'm putting them down, I'm reading, and it just came to me. I'm like, well, if they can make it, why can't I make it? So I started doing my due diligence, reading up, do's, don'ts, tips, tricks, this. And I started making them. So I started in January. So it's almost been a year. And I love it. I have a new Etsy site, and I'm calling it Hollywood Botanica. Hollywood Botanica. And then, of course, I have JeannieBassone.com to look at these soaps. But the soaps are cool, guys. I love making them. I made 3 in 7 days. I'm looking down at them right now. I have gardenia. I have a lemongrass that I just made, and what is the other one? Oh, a sandalwood lavender. I started naming some of the soaps after, because I love rock and roll. I love 80s rock and roll. So I started naming them after albums, or like this blue one was Nirvana. I thought I would use one of the albums from Nirvana. The black one, which is the Tea Tree, Back in Black for AC/DC and so on. And then I had another one. I had a Purple Haze, which was purple. That was my Jimi Hendrix soap. That one was unscented, but I love doing it, you guys. It's just something that I enjoy doing, especially I've been on the road. Kind of the last thing I want to do is like go out, and I kind of want to chill at home for a little bit, just with all the travel that I do. It's fun to come home, relax, hang with my boyfriend, hang with my cat Elvis, and make my soap. And it just makes me happy. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. How long does it take you to do a batch of soap? Like,
that's a good question. All right. So I mix it. It usually takes me to make it is about an hour. That's it. Now, once it goes into the mold that it's in, it's got to sit for 24 hours. Once I take it out of the mold, then I can cut it, all right, into the pieces, but then it has to cure. So that takes 4 weeks to cure.
Okay.
So these 3 that I just made. So when I see you guys, are you all going to be there?
Yes.
Yep. Perfect. Yep. So we'll have to bring you some soap.
Awesome.
The cool thing about the soap, you guys, there's no preservatives in it. So all you're getting is all the olive oils, a little water. You have to have lye to make soap. So you got to have a little bit of that. But pick up any soap and read the crap that's in the soap. This doesn't have any of that. And that's what I love it so much. And April, you guys, she is my walking advertisement, because she's pretty picky. She's got very sensitive skin, her and Lightning. And she said, you know what? She said, Jeannie, I'm real picky. She says, I hardly have to put on any moisturizing lotion after I bathe with your soap. So that tells you it's not very drying. So it's good.
Cool. Good thing. Cool. Excellent.
Yeah. I'll bring you guys some when I see you in March for sure.
All right.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Who's my horror guy? I know there's a horror person in here.
Jim?
Oh,
that's
you.
Yeah, that would be me.
Tell me about your horror stories. No.
Well, I actually just recently sold my business for some personal reasons. But I'm still their consultant. And what it is it's a group of traveling actors that go around to different haunted houses in the area, filling in where they need help.
Oh, my gosh. So give me an example of what you're doing. What kind of help do they need?
Well, one of the big things is queue lines. People, when they go to haunted houses, they, you know, if you stand in a queue line for an hour, 2 hours long, you get kind of disgruntled and, you know, you're just ready to get into the show. We're there to be part of the show to keep you entertained until you get into their house.
Right. So you're entertaining them as monsters.
Characters? Yes. Wow. We will scare you. We will make you laugh, whatever we've got to do.
I love it.
Some of my guys are really good. A good example is one of my guys a couple of years ago. He scared this girl so bad they had to take her away in a squad.
No way.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Go ahead.
She went catatonic. She brought it on herself now. I have to say, she's like, you can't, you know, one of the rules is you don't touch the patrons.
Oh, right.
And she's like, she's walking around with her nose in the air. My daddy's a cop. I know you can't touch me, blah, 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 blah. Well, she didn't see him come up behind her. She turned around and saw him and just dropped to the ground into the fetal position. And he looked at me, and I had to chase him away because he wouldn't stop.
Oh, my gosh.
But as they're loading her into the squad, you can see the squad lights in the background. He goes, Jim, I've got to get a picture of this. And I've got a picture of him raising his hands with the squad in the background.
Oh, my gosh.
But it doesn't end there because she was with a group of people, and they took them behind the scenes to calm them down.
Oh, my God.
And her best friend is sobbing, goes, they killed her. I know they did.
Oh, oh, my geez. Gosh. Ah. Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. I went to, and I know it's different, but I got pretty sucked in. In California, we have Not Scary Farm, and there are people that come. I've never been before, so this was before I moved to Nashville. So that was probably over 8 years ago, and I went that night, and there were these guys walking around with chainsaws. Uh-huh. Or I don't know if they were real, obviously. They probably were not. But you have somebody coming after you with a chainsaw? Mm-hmm. Okay, that was scary. I'm like, pretty good, pretty good. Then I'm going to one of these mazes. Uh-huh. And my eyes aren't that good at nighttime.
Okay.
So I start going through the maze. And I'm walking, and I start to look up at this pumpkin face thing. When it leapt out at me, oh, my God. I did not know it was a person. I jumped back. So they got me so good. I will just never forget how scared I felt when that thing jumped. Because I'm coming closer like this to look at it because it's nighttime, and I can't see, and he jumped at me. I flew back so fast. I screamed. My throat hurt so bad that night.
That's our goal. That's what we live for.
You guys are good, man. If you did that to her, woo!
Well, I personally, one of my characters, I wear a high-end silicone mask, and half of the mask looks normal, and the other half is completely shredded like meat.
Oh, cool.
And I was standing, it was the same venue, and I had a GoPro strapped to my chest underneath my shirt. So all exposed was the lens.
Right.
And I stood stock still like I was a decoration. And these guy about as big as me comes up, and they're trying to figure out if I'm real or not.
Right, like me, yes.
So they get closer to me and closer to me, and I wait until the last possible second, and I lunged out at him, and he immediately dropped to the ground.
Now, how tall are you?
I'm 6'4".
Yeah, I was going to say, you look tall. it's, you know, we're in here, but you look like you were probably definitely over 6'2".
Yes.
Oh my gosh, you guys. I'm working on the bio that I've been trying to work on for a while. I've been through 4 or 5 co-writers, and I finally found a really good co-writer who already has experience. I'm not going to say his name right this minute, but we're working on something together, and hopefully we can get this publishing deal that we're in the middle of right now. But before that, I have a friend, and you can look him up. His name is Christian Ackerman, A-C-K-E-R-M-I-N, Christian Ackerman, and he does a lot of horror films, tons. But he has a couple of books, you guys, that came out, and he asked me the beginning of this year, I need essays for the book called My Favorite Horror Movie 2. I don't know if you can see the cover. Can you see that a little bit? This book, you guys, this book will be sold on Amazon this week. Anyway, I have an essay in it. And for some reason, you know, My Favorite Horror Movie, it was going to be 750 words to 2,000. And it came like that to me naturally. I just started writing. It's very difficult for me, anyway, to pick one movie. So I have to talk about several movies growing up. But that will be my first published essay in this book. So I'm totally excited about it. I'm going to California this week, and I'll meet up with Christian to pick up books, because now that the book's in there, I can pick those up. I can sell those at conventions, which are kind of cool as well. So they're giving us a good discount on the book, and then I'll be able to sell those. But I'm excited about that book, and I wanted to tell you guys about it. And
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I'm excited.
It's a good segue. You said you didn't have one. You talked about several different movies you liked. Yeah. What particular genre of horror do you like?
Oh, yeah, because there's so much, isn't there? Right. Tina, I don't give me examples, because I like all. So I'm not, you know, I'm not a buff, a horror buff. Give me your examples of genres.
Yeah, and then I'm a slasher fan.
Do you like slasher films?
Yeah, I'm a slasher fan, like Jason. And Michael Myers, that kind of thing.
Okay, then go ahead.
What about psychological terror? I mean,
yeah, that's fucked up too. Sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
Woohoo! Dropping the F bomb.
Science fiction horror, like Aliens.
Yeah, I like all of it, but I started with the first one, which was the oldest one, Nosferatu. Okay. All right. That scared the crap out of me. Look what he looks like. Yeah. Unbelievable. Scary looking. So I started with Nosferatu, talking about it. Then I went over to the Halloweens, the very first one. Mm-hmm. Because growing up, when that movie came out, I was a babysitter as well. So remember Jamie Lee Curtis, right. They're babysitting. Uh-huh. So you're thinking, this could happen in your neighborhood. Seriously. And then, of course, now we get into the slashers. High school, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. There's that. Right. I talk about that as well, because I remember being, you know, in a boyfriend's El Camino. And yes, we were watching the movie. So I remember that movie very well. I remember trying to look when I got back to his house and drove my car home. I'm looking around in my rear view mirror, thinking that he was behind me with that chainsaw. I mean, you know, and, you know, I also write about in the Halloween movies when Jason's sitting there behind the door, you know, in that hallway, that dark hallway. Oh, it's like, you better check those doors when you walk into your house. It's just, all of those things are crazy. And then I got to my very favorite one. And I don't know what you'd call this. I guess, I don't know if it's psychological. I like the Shining a lot.
Oh, that's a combination of psychology and gore.
There you go.
Definitely a lot of psychology.
Oh, yeah. So that was my number one pick. I don't know, just because of the acting in it, because, you know, he's unbelievable. Nicholson is just, what an actor. So I had to do several different ones before I came to, and this one will be, and this is why this is my favorite horror movie. Oh, you know what else that I'd like to? what is it? Kill Kill, Faster Pussycat, Kill Kill. Is that it?
Oh, yeah. That's more of a Russ Meyer. That's a Russ Meyer film.
Russ Meyer film. I don't know what you call that one. What would we call that? Is that kind of...
I think that those are classified as exploitation films.
Yes.
I like those. See, I'm real rounded, you guys. I like it. I like it all. Just give it to me. Pretty funny.
You know, it's funny, Jeannie, as you're talking about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right.
And how you were looking around thinking he was going to have a chainsaw coming after you.
Yes.
I was dating a girl at the time, and we had just got done watching it on video at my house.
Okay.
And I had to take her home. So I took her home, drove back to my house, went and got my chainsaw.
You did not.
Back to her house, got up underneath her bedroom window and cranked it up.
Oh, you're terrible. You're so bad.
And I hope she's not listening to this.
That poor girl. Oh my gosh.
And now we know why Jim did not date her for very long.
poor girl, Jim. Well, oh, you know, it's another one that, I also write, you know, then there's The Omen, and there's all the devil ones. Those scare the holy crap out of me, because those, they screw with your mind, I think. Jim, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. The horror, that type of horror is religious horror, I look at it as. But it is psychological, right?
Those are hard to watch. I don't like when, you know, I grew up Catholic. Not that I went, you know, I had to go to church every week. Not that that means anything today or whatever, but seeing crosses upside down and the devil, that gets in here with me. I just Amityville Horror, same thing with that.
Mm-hmm. What about The Conjuring?
That was so scary. Oh, my gosh. I watched that, you guys. Now, I didn't see it at the movies, but I had rented it. I might have rented it on Netflix or something. I can't remember. But I think I was watching it in my home, in my house, and I was scared. Same as, what's the other one? Not the one with, what is it? Not The Omen. It came on before The Omen. The other devil one.
Exorcist.
Yes! Mm-hmm. Yeah! I love The Exorcist, but it's hard for me to watch that as well. Yeah, those are hard.
That film scared a lot of people when it came out bad.
It sure did. So that stuff to me screws with me. I like to stay away from it because I'm thinking, if you think it is going to happen, that's what it does to me. Texas Chainsaw, you know, the other ones, you know, I can deal with those, but anything with the religious stuff going on, I'm thinking, how do we really know? You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, let me ask you this. What about Paranormal Activity? I'm not talking about all the extra, I'm talking about the first one. Paranormal Activity. Have you seen that?
I don't remember. I think I, is that the one? See, I don't remember now. I'm getting it mixed up with. Is this the one where they filmed it in their?
It's like the found footage type stuff.
House? I love that. That was scary too. Mm-hmm. I know. I did see it. The very first one. I remember
that.
Yeah, that's pretty scary too. I kind of like that stuff. And Jim, I don't know if you've done it. Have you ever spent the night in a haunted place? Haunted hotel.
I have, as a matter of fact, I also hunt ghosts.
See, that is something that I would like to do, even though, because I think that they exist. I just think that sometimes in my heart of hearts, I just think when someone wants to get a hold of you, energy doesn't go away. It just takes another form, right?
Well,
you know? There's energy.
There is. A picture of this, Jeannie. My house is almost 100 years old.
Wow.
And right across the street from me is the biggest cemetery in town.
Tell me the state that you're in.
I'm in Ohio.
Not your mental state. No, what's your state that you live in?
I'm in Ohio.
Okay.
So I'm actually just a couple hours away from the Arnold when we're going to be there. So it's just
perfect.
Drive off the road from me.
I have relatives in Akron.
I'm down in the Cincinnati area.
Okay, great. All right. So your house is 100 years old. Tell me about your house.
Well, my wife and I are both, she's a sensitive and she likes to hunt ghosts as well.
Great.
We've had some rather interesting things happen. I had a business partner with my team who unfortunately passed away at the young age of 41.
Oh boy.
Wow.
And that's young.
Every once in a while, he makes his presence known.
Really?
He does. And what's really a kicker is you watch my animals. I've got three cats and a dog.
Uh-huh.
And they look up and they see things.
And they have, they're more sensitive, obviously, than we are. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's quite a bit of activity at times here.
Uh-huh. Does the activity happen at the same time? Like evening, more does it matter? It could be any time.
It could be any time of day. One of the things that really stands out to me is I've got a transom over my front door.
You have a what? I'm sorry.
A transom. It's like a window over my front door that folds down.
Okay, I know what that is. Sure.
And it's been painted shut. I've never opened that window. Well, about a year or so ago, it dropped open for no reason.
Of course it did. Unbelievable. That's scary. And you know, it's someone, it's energy. It's that energy. That energy goes, it's another form in Absolutely. Another form.
Yes,
I believe yes. it. So when I moved to Tennessee, you guys, I moved into a Civil War house. It's not this place now, but it was pre-Civil War. And it had the only thing that happened once, it's been in the same family since it was built in the 1800s. So what I did is I went to the archives because I'm just so into kind of like what you're into. I had to figure out what's going on with this house. Right. There's a cemetery over here, which has three family members out away on the premises. And now I'm going to the archives to read about this home. And it was so cool. It mentioned the owners, the Scruggs. That was their name, S-C-R-U-G-G-S. The Scruggs was the family name. There was one slave on this property for 4 months only. They had one slave, was a woman. And then she was gone. You know, they sold her to someone else. Right. But there was never, I kept wondering, like when you are in a new home for the first time, regardless if the home was 40 years old or 60 years old or 100, the newer type of homes always creak.
Right.
This house, which is before the Civil War, I think it was 1836 maybe. Anyway, I fell asleep. Nothing. Dead silent. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Okay. No creaks. Like my house in California, built in 1940. I moved there the first night. I think, you know, something's moving, crack. That's not haunted. But this one was just sound. Now, one night, and I'm in the bedroom, and you have to cross over the hallway into the other room. It's got two chandeliers in it and really cool old wallpaper that's real old looking. So it was my favorite room, huge ceilings. So I'm laying down and all of a sudden the lights go on in that room. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how did that's never happened here ever. So I walk in real slowly and just turn it back down again. So who knows? So the owner who came to visit, as he did once a year, I asked him, you know, this happened the other day. What do you think? And he goes, well, he goes, it's never been haunted or it's never, but if there was a ghost here, he said, it would be friendly. Anyway, I moved out of that and I wish I would have kept that place, but it was pretty cool. Oh, I have another story. See, now you're just bringing up all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Oh my gosh. This story, you guys, I have to tell it in my book as well now. See what happens? You start thinking of all these things. On the West Coast, there is a bed and breakfast, and it's in Portland. Excuse me, it's in Oregon. And this bed and breakfast, we were told, was haunted. And I went with my best friend. We drove down there. I think it was the lightkeeper's house. So there are three bedrooms on this side of the house and three on the other. And then, of course, in the middle, you do the breakfast and dinner and blah, blah, blah. So the first night, guys, it's midnight. I fall asleep and my friend is still up because the light was still on. And I heard this loud noise. It was just like that. And I woke up and went, and I looked at my friend and she started laughing at me. I'm like, Laura, why are you laughing at me? She goes, your face. I go, I heard something. Did you hear what I heard? She goes, I didn't hear anything. I go, Laura, oh my gosh. I go, I heard something hit this floor. Went back to sleep. I woke up 8 o'clock in the morning. I go to use the restroom, which is inside the room, guys. Right. As I go to close the bathroom door's not closing. It's like opening up. It's not closing like it did. So I look around the door, and what is on the ground? You know, I don't know what you call those big, they're not screws or nails, but it closes the door on each side. Those,
I don't know what they are.
The hinge pins.
It's this big. It's on the ground. It popped out of it and landed on the ground. That's what made that noise. So I took a picture of it right away. Whatever, maybe it was loose, okay? But that's what I heard. All right, next night, one more. Next night, this time I'm a little bit more, I'm nervous, Jim. So I take the sheet and I put it over the mirror because I'm afraid to look into the mirror. Wait, so here it comes again. I wake up. Now, I have animals. I had two cats at the time. So you know when an animal jumps on your bed. You can feel it, even if they're gentle, because cats are pretty gentle. Mine are. You feel something. Yep. Same sensation. I woke up because something hit the bed, but I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not at home. I look, and I kid you not, I am not dreaming. I look at the end of the bed, and the bed has an indention of someone sitting on it. But here's the thing. I wasn't scared. It was really something that did. I'm like, oh, that must be the ghost. In this place, I go back to sleep. We go downstairs and the innkeeper, the lady, is like, girls, how's your stay? How was your night? I didn't say anything, but my friend decides, well, Jeannie had an experience last night. And she told her, and you know what the lady said? She kept doing her stuff. She goes, oh, Jeannie felt someone sit on the bed and saw it. And the lady goes, that's what they say. So I felt that and I know it happened. So those are my two experiences with that kind of, so it exists. So going back to it, yes, it exists. I believe it.
Well, you know, we could go, I could go on and on with you about that. And we don't have
I know we
time
could
on the show, but we sorry.
We'll, no, that'll we'll be talk another show. That'll yeah be another show.
There you go.
And we
another
can
episode
talk, we can talk about it when we're at the Arnold and
I would love that. Okay.
There's some really interesting stories I have to tell you.
I can't wait to hear them. Perfect.
Now, did you ever?
I'm looking forward to those.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Count on it. You can count on it.
Did you ever act in any horror films or anything like that?
I wanted to do my own horror film. That's one thing that I always wanted to do. We have cameras. We have the talent. We have you guys. You know what I mean? We can all do. I did write one. So, but I haven't acted in one. Christian Ackerman, I'd like to be in one of Christian's. Look him up, you guys, and see all the stuff he's done. He has one of my scripts. It's called, I can't remember. It's been so long. It's something at Diablo, and it's really good. This is before The Walking Dead. So before there were zombies, guys, on TV, I already had the idea to have zombies and wrestlers. And I know it's been done a couple of times. but I had that idea way back. I just didn't have the funds and, you know, the way to do it. But it's called Deathmatch at Diablo. That's the name of it. Okay. So we'll talk about that, Jim.
Okay. Yeah, Jim just got done probably about 4 or 5 months ago filming a short horror film with his actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my God. Do you like Rob Zombie, Jim? I like his films. Do you?
Rob Zombie? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too. Me too. See, I liked a lot of his films as well. I didn't, you know, thinking about it, I probably should have written that in there because, well, he did the Halloween one too. Right. Whatever, no, 25. No, I don't know. yeah, so, we'll talk about it for sure.
Oh, you can count on it. What else, guys?
Well, I think we should probably start wrapping up. We've kept her on here longer than.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on here with you guys. I see. This is what I'm saying. Now I know how you could stay on and on with April because it's just once you start on one subject, you go to the next, and then before you know it, an hour has gone by like that. And you're probably wondering, are you guys football? Are you guys football fans? Are you watching any of the games?
Oh yeah, I'm a big Buckeyes fan.
Yeah, my boyfriend is. He was texting me. He wanted to go see Kansas City. I'm trying to think. That's where he's. That's his team anyway. I don't even know who they're playing, but it's Sunday. It's football.
Yeah, in the pros, I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good for you. April is a New Orleans Saints fan. I know that.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
He loves the Saints. That's her team.
There you go, Jim. You'll have to get April something with New Orleans Saints on it.
Right.
That's her team, you guys.
Yeah, that's what I said when I was telling you earlier this week. We had her on, and I just told her, oh, it'd be 30, 45 minutes. We'll just do a little quick chat. And it was like 2 hours.
Oh,
we just had such a great time. Just everybody just kept chatting, kind of like how this is going.
Exactly. It's just a fun thing, and it's funny because once you get going and it just opens up other things. But when people say, oh, we're going to do 30 minutes, you have to remember 30 minutes goes by really quick. It just goes immediately. Well, it's a pleasure to speak with all of you. And I'm so happy that you had me on. And I am so looking forward to the Arnold in March. That's going to be fun. If anybody wants to find me, I have Twitter, which is @GlowHollywood. There's an Instagram, @OfficialGlowHollywood. If you're liking my soaps, you can, you know, jeannievasone.com. You can find them there in our merch section. But I'm looking forward to seeing you kids. So, and of course, all of our fans. That's going to be fun.
Cool.
It's definitely going to be fun. So with that being said, Jeannie, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the Wrestle Horror. We look forward to having you on again. We look forward to seeing you at the Arnold. And I think I speak for John and Donnie when I say, you know, one of our best shows and a wonderful guest.
Oh, you're sweet. John, Donnie, Jim, thank you so much. If you need anything, give me a holler. If you want to do this again in 2020 before, let's do it.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
All right, guys.
All right. So we're going to sign off now and catch you on the next show.
All right, kiddo. You guys have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. See you guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror. Twitter @WrestleHorror. On our YouTube channel, The Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.